This show is brought to you by earpeeler.com.
Today's podcast is brought to you by audible.com. Get a free audio download and a free 30-day trial at www.audibletrial.com/radmetal. Over 150,000 titles to choose for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player.
The following is brought to you in association with and from a proud partner of the Shining Wizards Network. Entertainment here.
Hey, this is Frankie C. from Vesperia and Shredders of Metal. You're listening to Radioactive Metal.
Welcome to Radioactive Metal. This is Radioactive Metal, your source for news, views, tunes, and interviews. Here are your hosts, Snowy, Rock, Corrine, and Aaron.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to a shredding episode of Radioactive Metal. Episode 519, and I'm Snowy White.
This is Rock.
I'm your Space Mountain.
Well there, Space Mountain. I'm Mr. Toad's Wild Ride. So, dear listeners, here's what I'd like you to do. No doubt you're probably driving as you listen to this show, so I want you to pull over. Well, you know, it's a good time. We're a great in-traffic show. We're going to keep you calm so you don't feel the need to, like, hurt any other driver. But so here's what you're going to do, dude, listeners. So pull over, right? Or if traffic's slow enough, it'll be okay. But pull your phones up. Go to Instagram. Go to Twitter. I want you to search right now for RadMetal666. Follow us. And not only do I want you to follow us, because we have fun and merriment on our Twitter and I almost said Facebook, Instagram pages. But what I want you to do is tweet us. Tweet us. Tell us the kind of content you want to see on Twitter. Don't be passive. Pick up that damn phone and tweet, tweet, tweet like a motherfucker and tell us what you want to hear. Now, if you're saying, thank you, Corrine. Thank you. Right. So if you're saying, like, well, you know, I'm just not edgy like that. Well, then you know what you fucking need? You need a cup of the blackest coffee there is, Mjork Helvete from True Cult Coffee. TRVEKVLT coffee.com. Go order
it. Preacher, brother.
See, I will, sister. So here's what we got going on, right? So subscribe by September 14th, right? And this is important, dear listeners. Get a coffee subscription by September 14th. And the music feature this month is Eternal Black, a doom metal band from Brooklyn, New York. And a black metal band known as Gra, I hope I'm pronouncing that right, from Stockholm, Sweden. Gra appears courtesy of Carnal Records, I think. I can barely read that. But yeah, so that's the music you can get this week. So subscribe, get a coffee subscription, because you don't want to run out of True Cult Coffee. I have tried True Cult Coffee. I enjoy it. I have a coworker at work who's vegan, and we've been talking fitness and things like that, and he's drinking coffee. I'm like, what sort of coffee do you drink? He says, I like a dark roast. I'm like, would you like to have the blackest of black coffees? Because he said he takes his coffee black. He's like, Is this going to be like Death Wish? I'm like, no, blacker. This is the blackest coffee, Mjork Helvete. He says, what's Mjork Helvete? I said, dark hell. And, you know, thankfully he's known me for a while, so none of this is shocking him yet. But I will be continuing Normie Outreach and probably getting some more True Cult Coffee. And I've been thinking about doing – you ever remember the old commercials in the 80s, guys, like the Folgers switch out where they would like say, we secretly replace their coffee with this coffee.
Oh.
You know?
Yeah.
I want to do that in my office with True Cult Coffee and just watch the chaos ensue.
Oh, yeah. Cult
has been possessed by the demons of coffee beans. And you're going to get this black death coffee. Okay, really, I'm good. Let's keep moving on. So, Snowy, take us out, man. What's going on here?
Okay.
Support True Cult Coffee, listeners. Snowy, what's up?
Oh, well, we're definitely starting off the weekend on the right. We're definitely started off the right way. How is everyone doing tonight, my bros and bras? Everything is cool so far?
I'm about to speak up right now.
Right on. right on.
Karina was just telling us about her 300-pound Peruvian classmate.
That's
oh.
Right. That was fun. Yep. Yeah, you guys are just a little jealous of my new Peruvian classmate who happened to pick me out of all the students in the class tonight. Yes, guys, I am taking a Friday class. Depending on when you're listening to this, it is. I don't care what time it is or what date it is. I really don't want to think about that right now. But just know it's Friday. That's all that matters. Anyway, back in the bin.
When I was in college, I dated a Peruvian girl, and she chose me. And that just tells you that Peruvians know how to find a good time anywhere they are.
Oh.
Yeah.
Geez. You know? So right there.
You guys have no idea what
this kid. That's why he chose your party.
You guys have no idea what this kid got himself into, because out of all those kids in the class, all those girls in the class, I decided to sit in the back by myself, away from all the normal, you know, the normal socials. And he waddles in and chooses the last fucking seat, which is the seat next to me, literally the last fucking seat out of all the open seats, and chose to sit next to me.
Imagine that. The guy sits next to the pretty girl. That was called high school for me.
Dude, there were open seats between girls. I mean, I sat the very end, but there were two other girls who sit in this row, and there was a seat between us and a seat between them, and he could have had the option. He chose to sit next to me. So I'm going to make my Peruvian friend here the best, like, classmate, like, partnership we're ever going to have, if that made any fucking sense, which it did not. No, he is going to have the best fucking time of his young college life sitting next to me. He doesn't know what he got himself into.
Unless he listens to this show. And then he goes screaming from the class.
Oh, no. He ain't never going to find out about this show, because he wouldn't even, when we were doing introductions, he wouldn't even mention the class I listened to metal, which I am proud to say that I am the only one in the class that listens to fucking metal. Everybody else listens to reggaeton and
you go, girl.
Yeah.
Well, you were saying how he had different seating options where he could have gone. He had option number one. He had option number two. But he went for option number 666.
There we go.
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
See what he did there?
Yeah. I see what you did there. Yeah. He's going to have the best fucking time of his life. I've already made this kid's day. At least I would like to think I did. I don't really know. But
yeah, because you were sharpening his pencil, right?
Yeah. Okay, guys, not a dick, but, you know. So the poor kid is sitting next to me. He has a pencil. He has no other writing material. His pencil he doesn't have a sharpener. The classroom, because it's college, doesn't have a sharpener. And he's writing on, like on the very end tips. So if you see somebody who needs something, normally you would ask, hey, do you need something? But if you fucking know, just fucking do it. They'll be more appreciative. Like, they're not going to question you unless they think you might be a little fucking weird. But I had an extra sharpener. You're laughing, but it's true. I had an extra sharpener in my backpack because I have to carry. I carry pencils around for other reasons. And I had an extra pencil. Well, I saw that he needed sharpening, so I took the sharpener out of my backpack without questioning it, and I just took and sharpened his pencil. Okay, so I did a nice thing. I didn't question it. He thanked me, and then I was like,
You said you carry other pencils for other reasons, as if to stab people in the eyes?
Yeah.
All the fucking time, Rock. You know? And then, you know, once I was done, like, sharpening his pencil, I noticed that the eraser he had, on the pencil wasn't there. So the sharpener I had is a dual sharpener eraser thing, and which they're easily replaceable. So I was like, you know what? You're going to need this. But I didn't say it like that. I was like, here, I want you to have this, and I'm going to give you a pen, because he didn't have a pen either. So when I see kids like that, I don't want to question them because I don't know their socioeconomic statuses, and it's just best not to ever ask that in the first place because it's not your fucking business. So you just kindly give it to them, and they're more than happy to fucking take it. They don't fucking care. They have something they can write with, and they don't feel like they can't progress in the class. They don't want to ask you because it's the first fucking day of the class. So
Now either he's struggling, like you were saying, or, you know, next week you're going to find out that the guy's a fucking slob and he just forgot all his shit. And then he's...
There you go. Yeah.
You had pity on him for nothing.
Look, dude, I don't care if he is a slob or not. If he's going to sit next to me and I see that shit, I don't care. You know, hey, if I have extra and I can do it, and I can go ahead and give it to him, I'm just going to do it. I'm not even going to question it. Man, because if the kid's coming here on the first fucking day, you know, and he has a notebook and he has one pencil that's like down to the nub, he probably had the only pencil he had, and, you know, I'm not going to fucking question it, man. I'm just going to give it to him.
I was trying to make a joke. You get all serious and stuff.
Well, I see you though. I'm sorry. God, I need to really get off the power trip here because this ain't about me. It's really not. So fuck today. Fuck class.
It's all about the metal, Kareem. So let's bring it back.
That's right. Tune in next week for another exciting episode of
Peruvian Boys
Goes to College.
I think Peruvian Boys Gone Wild, but sure, that one works too.
Look, man, he's got enough boobs to, you know, go wild with, but I ain't asking about that either.
So how tall is he?
What do you want to know? Do you want his number?
Well, maybe. I mean, you don't know my life, but anyway. Because I've been talking about like height and weight today, because myself, I'm about 6 foot and 247 or so here. So I'm like, oh, he's only 50 pounds heavier than me. I'm trying to figure out if he's like my height. Do I have the kind of cleavage that this man has?
No, man. He's like five, six. It's not about his height and weight, man. I'm trying to give a descriptive. Because I feel bad. Because I feel like now I have made a clown out of him, but really, it's not about being a clown. It's just a descriptiveness. I can't even eat my own words here. I fucking call him a 300-pound Peruvian, and here he is hanging out with me.
Kareem, get the shovel and try to dig yourself out now.
No, dude, I can't. I've gone too fucking far.
You're doing fine.
I did this to myself, man. I feel bad, man.
And again, I only ask not to make you feel bad or anything like that, because I'm truly just fascinated by, you know, all, because I mean, my diet's gone to hell. I put on way too much weight. That's a whole nother story, but I'm just curious because like there are people that I'm like, wow, how are you that heavy? You know? And just like, how did I get to be this heavy? And that's a whole nother thing. But anyway, so speaking of heavy metal, Snow, take us there.
How about that?
I know.
Great segue.
That's what
I do.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be an interesting creature feature, to say the least, because, yeah, band interviews are great and all that, but, you know, we kind of like to branch out, you know, with our interview subjects, and I think we did that. We're not big, you know, metalheads generally aren't big on the quote-unquote reality or type competitions shows and all that, but I think we stumbled upon a rather unique one in the Shredders of Metal competition, courtesy of Banger TV, and we have the winner of this later on. But in the meantime, before we get to that, yeah, let's get on with the metal. But, you know, before we get into our metal fix, I just want to say hello and happy birthday to, at least as we speak, our good buddy Tim McMurtry from MOD, as yes, you guys may recall. Last year we had him on for a couple episodes in a row. The man turns 49 years young today. So happy birthday, my friend, and many more. So without further ado, let's get on with it.
It's time for the metal fix. My naughty bits are tingling with excitement.
Okay, who wants to talk about what?
Oh, it's got to be Corrine because she hasn't been here in a few weeks.
And she's got to make up for about 15 minutes of talking about some weird guy in class.
But I know she's shy and really quiet and not very talkative tonight. So that's going to make it rough for us.
Yeah, okay. All right, so you guys want to know what I've done in a nutshell because I haven't been here in a couple weeks.
I mean, I want to know what you've done just around the town, not even just in the nutshell. You know, well, anywhere. You know,
let's just say that I got into another accident.
Oh, come on, for real?
Look, man, it wasn't my fucking fault, dude. Okay, it was not. Again,
I'm
it's
not saying
my
it was,
fault.
But I mean, it's a bummer, man, especially for midnight.
Dude, midnight is like a battle tank. That bitch goes down like fucking nobody's business, and she took a beating from a 90-year-old man who was Asian but vital. He had a lot of vitality in him. He had so much. Dude, you guys laugh, but it's fucking true. First a 16-year-old girl, now a 90-year-old Asian man. I'm not saying anything about the minorities of driving, but those are the kinds of things that attract, that have been attracted to midnight, you know.
So midnight has a wide range of attractions, what you're saying here.
Yeah, she's a wide load for sure, and she takes a good hit. So, you know. Again, poor old guy. He hit midnight, you know, and I'm getting ready to start my fucking day and, you know, get my metal on with my liquid metal station, Sirius XM and whatnot. And here I am getting ready to fucking go. And here he comes into my goddamn left lane, sideswiping me. And then 90 years old, guys, 90 fucking years old, gets out of his car with no walker, no cane. Is like walking down the street on his cell phone. He can use a cell phone, walking down the fucking street, calling his daughter, calling 911, and ended up being one of the nicest guys that's ever hit me.
Oh, well, that's lovely.
If the guy's going to hit you, he might as well be nice.
The guy's so old, he thought he was hitting on you, but he was hitting
you
instead.
You know,
he had his wife. His car too, but
it's never too late for a threesome.
Oh my god.
No, man, I don't need that kind of sagginess in my life. That extra baggage.
I mean, once you go saggy, that's what you'll baggy. No, I don't know. We need a slugger for that.
Yeah, I don't know, Aaron. It seems like you've had a lot of baggage in your life. I don't know.
There's been lots of baggage in my life. You know, like I should be a bellhop at this point. You know,
god damn,
Aaron. Baggage I've had to carry. But it's a whole nother thing.
Would you work at the Hotel California? No, sorry.
Well, I can check out anytime I like.
So is midnight okay? Are you okay? I mean,
I'm okay. Like the first beating that she took, you know, she didn't feel it, and I didn't feel it the second time. So I literally, like, I hear this noise, and I break, and I said, Jesus Christ, not fucking today. Not fucking today. Literally, figuratively speaking, not fucking doing it. Mm-hmm. I get out, and then there it is. Side swipe marks on her, and the old man's like, you hit me, you hit me. I said, no, you hit me.
Oh.
Oh, my God. So anyways, that is part of my metal fix, because I was trying to listen to metal while that fucking happened, and I really don't have much of anything else. I mean, I went and saw Hereditary. It's been out in theaters for quite some time. I saw that last night. That movie is spooky as fuck. Not necessarily scary, but it's just really fucking creepy.
It's supposed to be really good, yeah.
Yeah, it's fucking creepy. So, back to see at the Dollar Theater. It's really a dollar for the movies.
I love Dollar Theaters.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck yeah. So, I'm going to get off my power trip again because I don't want to take up your time. I literally just don't have that much to say about...
Gosh, you had us fooled.
No, you guys had yourselves fooled because you guys were waiting for me to use up the time so you didn't have to do the talking because you want to finish this podcast.
You know, like the Aerosmith song says, let the music do the talking, right?
Yeah, well, that's not happening right now, is it?
No, it's not. All right, well, mine is very short also, so I guess I'll go next.
That's what she said.
So the new Mantar, we were sent that as a promo. I was reading the
description. What's a Mantar?
a Mantar is a man minotaur. No, I don't know. In the description that we got,
I know you're listening to it.
It says it's monstrous black doom punk. So, but yeah, I guess it is. I like the sound of it. It sounds a lot like it's got that heavy metal boss, you know, HM2 sound, you know, that all the Swedish death metal bands have, you know, it's pretty much that sound, but, maybe a little bit more refined. I would say not as raw as what you would normally hear, but, it's not bad. You know, the album is, The Modern Art of Setting Ablaze, and it's out, on Nuclear Blast, and, I only had a chance to listen to like a couple of songs today, and I was like, "Well, I got to talk about this because it's not bad. It's not bad." So,
I've heard nothing but good things myself. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. So I believe they're a power trio. So that's always interesting, you know, when you only have three guys making that much noise. Yeah. So, and besides that, been listening to a couple of podcasts. One called A New Level. I believe we've talked about it a little bit.
It's, I feel like we have.
It's Blast.
Yeah.
And, you know, basically they talk, he's talking to a lot of industry people, you know, talking a little bit about the behind the scenes stuff. And, the one I listened to today, I can't remember the name of the guy because he was kind of boring though today, the guy he had on. It was like very, very technical in the stuff he was talking about and talking about money and stuff. And I'm like, okay, well, that's not great. But I mean, the other episodes I've listened to so far, they're pretty good. But he seems to have done this like a season. There's a set amount of podcasts, and nothing new has been added. You know, it's not like a weekly thing. You know, there's like 10 or 12 episodes, and then I guess he does them like by season, because that's what it sounds like. He was talking about another podcast that he's doing, and it sounds like he does seasons. So, but you know, it's not bad. You know, if you want to hear about a little bit of the behind the scenes stuff that happens in the music industry in general, it's an interesting podcast. And then the other thing, Rock and Roll Twilight Zone. You know, I've talked about it before. Mm-hmm. This is not metal at all. The guy they had on, but it was interesting because they were talking about the Beatles, and you know, like it or not, metal comes from the Beatles. Yeah, so it's part of it. So the Alan Parsons. You guys know Alan Parsons?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Uh huh.
Well, he apparently he was an engineer on some of the early Beatles albums, and
he's worked with the Beatles,
and you know the Rock and Roll Twilight Zone, they like to talk about myths and debunking stuff, and so he the host asked him, said, well, is Paul McCartney dead? You know, because there was a rumor in the 60s that Paul McCartney died.
Yeah,
the walrus is Paul.
Yeah, and he's like, you know, he says a lot of people are gonna hate me, but no, Paul is not dead. There's no lookalike. It's the same guy. Come on, people. You know. So
that's wonderful.
I just wanted to mention that for anybody who thinks Paul McCartney is dead and this is a doppelganger, nah.
Oh, jeez.
Well, I just want to point out that the Beatles are absolutely metal, and here's why: because Lemmy saw them play at the Cavern Club. So if Lemmy was there at the Cavern Club, that makes the Beatles metal. Because I mean. What's more metal than Lemmy?
Helter Skelter.
Metal.
I'm enjoying a Lemmy in my Spider-Man cup right
See?
Now.
See? Right there.
Mm-hmm.
You're not having a Beatles right now. You're having a Lemmy.
Like, that's right. You know.
Lemmy Adam.
Right on. What about you, dude?
All right, man. So this week, I checked out a band, and I've been using, again, still using the Discovery on Spotify. They came up as related to Wolfking. And I've been listening to them a couple weeks in a row now. And just the more I listen, man, the more I dig it. I was telling you guys this about a track in the group here. Let me find the track again. The track is called Writhe. It's from their album this year called Shrine. And in parentheses, it says Embrace. I guess it's like an EP. It's only six tracks. But it's... I think most of the tracks, like the shortest track is 4 minutes. So everything else is longer than that, up to about 8 minutes. Dude, it's just really good. Like I love a heavy groove, and it's got noise, it's got ambiance. I really like it. But like Writhe is the track I keep coming back to just because of the way it starts to break down the middle. It slows down a little bit. and it gets kind of like chuggy and doomy, and I'm like, yeah, man, I really like this.
What's the band name again? Because it kind of, you kind of broke up a little bit when you said
I'm
the
sorry.
Band name.
Yashira, Yashira, Yashira.
Okay.
And the album is called Shrine, and it was just released this year.
Okay. Cool. I have to check it out.
Yeah, it's pretty badass. But and then I as well have been listening to a lot of podcasts, and you know, I make a lot of music references on the show, a lot of things that aren't metal, because I listen to a lot of shit. But let me tell you, I'm like a novice compared to fucking Dean Del Rey. Dude, he had Josta on his show, and then he had this some other guy, Count Joe Compliango or Jim Campanile something, and Del Rey knows fucking everything about every genre. Like, he can talk as intelligently about country as he can about metal. Like, he's talking to Jossa and just, like, you know, pulling stuff off the top of his head. I'm like, and you know, and admittedly, Dean has said this. He's done a lot of damn drugs. Like, I don't know how he remembers it all.
Oh, yeah. When he goes into his drug stories, you're like, oh, shit. That guy was not an angel.
Oh, no. And you know, he doesn't hide it. He knows it. He's you know, I wouldn't say he's proud of it, but I mean, it's fact and he doesn't hide it, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah,
he's an interesting guy.
His podcast has been fantastic. Just between the interviews he did with Rollins and the Josta interview, it's just been some killer stuff. So yeah, so that's been my metal fix. But guys, check out Yashira. Like, a big fan. The more I listen to it, the more I like it.
Cool. Right on. I think I'm going to.
Right on.
For myself, just probably kind of the same idea as you guys. I had a couple of cool new records come across my desk when I was a teenager, and I kind of lost track of this band for a while. But when I was a teenager in the mid 80s, there was a really cool German band called Mad Max. Their record at the time was called Rolling Thunder, and I really dug that. And you know, there was a lot of these bands that kind of popped up that, you know, they were hot for a while and they kind of simmered off and all that. Well, apparently Mad Max had still been around. They'd done some stuff here and there. New record in 2018 called 35. That came across my desk, and it's like, oh yeah, I remember Mad Max. I'm gonna slap this on and I'm checking it out and I'm listening to it. It's a great record, you know. You can tell, you know, they're still kind of stuck in that 80s metal groove and all that, which is great. You know, I'm always up for that. But that kind of inspired me to go out and check some of their earlier stuff. So I'm scouring the interwebs. To me, that means hitting up YouTube. Okay, that's about as scouring the interwebs as I get. And I'm looking, you know, I'm looking, okay, their record, Power of the Universe. Mad Max, Power of the Universe. Nothing's coming up. And now it's pissing me off. Where's this record? I want to hear it.
Jerk.
Okay. It got to the point where, and I'm on the computer, Mrs. White sitting beside me, and you know, I'm getting visibly upset. Like it's bothering me. And she's like, what's wrong? I said, I can't find this fucking album, you know. It's, you know, so and then it kind of dawns on me. Oh, Power of the Universe was an old Battle Axe album, not Mad Max. So
we've been there, Snowy.
I'm totally thinking He-Man. I'm thinking Masters of the Universe. So I'm all confused.
No, so I turn and I look at her and I tell her how I got screwed up, and she goes, I know. I get my Mad Max and Battle Axe albums mixed up all the time too. Okay. But I was cranking some old Battle Axe as well. Go out and check old Mad Max and new Mad Max and old Battle Axe and all that good stuff. YouTube is your friend. Another cool record across my desk is the hardcore band Jesus Piece. Their debut full length, Only Self, is out now. And if you're following the hardcore scene, this name should be familiar to you, because they've been tearing it up, and they just killed it last year at This Is Hardcore. People are still talking about their set. And it's just a hot new record that everyone is going to be getting behind. I would suggest you do it as well as cranking the snot out of that. I'm addicted to podcasts myself. That's, you know, music and podcasts. That's the majority of my entertainment as well. I want to say hello and horns up to Josh Staples from Abnormality, his podcast, Direct Input. Okay, I love this, and I love the way he goes about and does it. This time round, he had one Doug Brown on. Doug Brown is a Canadian documentary filmmaker, and his latest movie is called Slave to the Grind, a four-year labor of love documenting the hard the whole grindcore scene for 4 years. Mr. Brown has been interviewing everyone from Napalm Death to Dan Lilker, just some more obscure grindcore bands. And finally, this movie is now available, making the rounds, playing clubs and film festivals, and he's actually going around touring it and all that. Slave to the Grind is playing here at the Park Theater in October. Needless to say, I am really excited about this. Like, this is, I'm anticipating this as much as I am any concert. So I went out and I shelled out, you know, I bought an advance ticket, and then I find out, oh shit, fuck, Doug's on the Direct Input podcast. Really cool chat. It's a great, like the way Josh does things is, like, he goes to shows with a recorder, just walks up to the bands and said, hey, you want to be on my show? And they have a quick 5-minute conversation and all that. It's really neat, very different, and it's a very interesting, eye-opening interview with Doug Brown, and I can't wait. And I've already talked on a personal level to Mr. Brown, praying, okay, you're coming to Winnipeg, right? You're coming when the movie comes. No, he's not coming here. Wasn't happy. But really looking forward to this, and that will be a big part of my metal fix when, you know, come October. Another podcast I'm really digging, it's called 100 Words or Less, and it's basically the hosts. Ray Harkins, he interviews hardcore bands. One of the most recent episodes, he introduced me to a really cool band called Gouge Away, cool hardcore band out of Florida, Fort Lauderdale, actually. Hmm. And yeah, I know, like, the subject vocalist Christina Michelle, she was already saying that, you know, Fort Lauderdale has got like zero hardcore scene, and they had to branch out and all that. And I'm thinking to myself, yeah, you know, this is probably shit rock would already know, but, you know, this is definitely an education for me. So I love it. I love when, you know, I love discovering new bands, you know, especially in avenues like this. So I well recommend the 100 Words or Less podcast. And that's pretty much it for me. I want to get to a couple cool songs here and then get on with tonight's creature feature. But before we do that, I just want to say, last weekend, Rock, had a great time watching NXT. I had a great time watching SummerSlam. Yep. Where for SummerSlam, I went to my friend's place, made sure I brought a couple Trooper beers with me.
Oh. There you go.
Yeah. I got to her place and I pulled them out. I said, you know what? Hey, a night like tonight, you got to have a Trooper beer with me. And she's kind of looking at it. She didn't quite understand like what it was. And she had to look at the label. She goes, oh, is this like Iron Maiden? Bang on. Bang on. Yeah. So you ever get the chance as well, okay? Watch female wrestling with a lesbian, man. Like, that's oh yeah. that is a lot of fun. A lesbian that's had a beer in her and has no filter and has a dirty mind. You cannot have a better time than that. I want to say hello and horns up to Samantha. I can't wait for the next time that we watch some wrestling together. That's it. That's it for my metal fix.
All right.
Right on. Before we get on with tonight's creature feature, because I'm dying to get into it, going to drop a track from that new Mad Max record. Let's go with D-A-M-N.
She's reaching out. Damn!
And that, ladies and gentlemen, was Writhe, W-R-I-T-H-E, in parentheses, Embrace, by the band Yashira, Y-A-S-H-I-R-A, on their latest record, Shrine. Check them out. Some pretty good stuff. So, silence. Anybody hear that? I'm listening. Maybe we didn't hear it.
Silence. No, I know.
We're just listening for what we hear in the silence. Anyway, so Snowy, let's talk this creature feature, man. So this week, like, I'm pretty excited about this one because you put in the group me. You're like, hey guys, check out Shredders of Metal. And so I had on my lunch break, I queued everything up on YouTube. I watched like 5 of the episodes in a row, and I gotta say, I was intrigued. It was very interesting. So you know, I'll kind of let you kick it off here, and then, I mean, I got my 2 cents I want to put in.
Right. Okay, fair enough. What Shredders of Metal is like I said at the top of the show, I said, metalheads, like, we're not big on the quote-unquote reality show or these so-called competition shows, which are just basically game shows. Like, I've said that over and over. Shit like The Voice and that crappy show in Japan that gets the baby metal members and all that shit and all that. We're really not too big on that. But when something like Shredders of Metal comes down the tube, shall we say, and it's put on by the Banger TV production company, it kind of makes you say, you know what? I better take notice of this, which is exactly what I did. Banger TV is, of course, the company that is run by one Sam Dunn. Okay, he's famous for all those Metal A Headbanger Journeys and the Rush one and the Metal Evolutions episodes and all that. Well known, we could go on an entire episode dedicated to him, and I'm sure at some point we will. One of the latest projects was, like we said, this very, very mini series, 6 episodes, Shredders of Metal. And as the name tells, if you know anything about picking up the axe, you know that shredding is all about tearing it up on the guitar. Okay, and so what they did is they went out and they found 6 accomplished musicians all across Canada, and they had themselves a little competition, judged by not only Mr. Sam Dunn, but Dandy Kay of Diamonds and one Alex Skolnick of Testament. Those names alone give this all sorts of credence and credibility. So we definitely had to sit down, power through all 6 episodes, which are now available on YouTube. Check them out. And at the end of every episode, once a contestant was eliminated and literally had their name shredded, when you check this show out, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. It all came down to one Frankie Karachi, or Frankie C.
Frankie C.
They went on over and over and over. And I thought, you know what? This is a hell of a time to once again get Frankie C. onto Radioactive Metal. We have had Mr. C. on before. I know that wasn't the Happy Days reference. We have had Frankie C. on before when he won another national contest with his band Vesperia, who won the first Canadian Vakin Metal Championship.
Oh my goodness, that was his band?
That was his band, yeah. And then not only that, they went on to Vakin later that year and won the whole shebang there.
Yeah, it kicked ass that year.
And then after that, even better, a bigger feather in his cap, Al, he sat down with me right outside the zoo and was on Radioactive Metal and gave us the whole story. So once again, we had to get Frankie C. on to tell us all about this latest victory. Yeah. To get us there, let's sample a little bit of what Frankie C is capable with said band Vesperia. Let's go with the title track from one of their most latest EPs, The Western Tempests. This is Frankie C and Vesperia.
First and foremost, we'll kind of just kind of kick, we'll kind of kick things off here. We'll have already gone through the whole intro and exactly what Shredders of Metal is and all that. But just kind of in your own words, maybe you can explain what it is. Like, it's kind of like a quote-unquote reality show, maybe, but just done with a whole lot more class, shall we say, and talent.
Yeah.
So maybe with your words, you can kind of give the 411 exactly what Shredders of Metal is.
Sure. Well, Shredders of Metal is basically an all-metal guitar competition. There was six challenges, and we had to prepare different pieces for each challenge. And so it was an elimination process. So after every round, a contestant gets eliminated. So I was fortunate to make it up to the last round and win it. So that was great.
Right on. Yeah, just before we sat down, I kind of binged all six episodes here. And I got to say, I enjoyed it. It was a lot of fun. I laughed out loud in some parts, and some parts, like, I was just blown away by
Blaine was a lot of fun to work with.
No doubt. Now, this was put on by, and well, I'll already mention this, but this was put on by Banger TV.
That's right. Yeah.
Mr. Sam Dunn.
Sam Dunn.
Yeah. How did you come about being selected to be on the show? Like, what was the selection process?
The selection process was, Banger had actually put up a casting call through social media. I had actually seen their casting call via Facebook. So once I seen the casting call, I just put a video together and I had sent it to them, and I basically just submitted a YouTube video to them, and they had selected me as one of the finalists.
Right on. Well, that sounds simple enough, but I imagine you must have been a bundle of nerves making this video.
Yeah, definitely. I'd put a couple takes together, try to find something that I was somewhat satisfied with sending it to them. So,
right on. And as you're competing in all that, like, what's going through your mind with each episode, with each competition? Were you nervous? Were you excited? Were you anxious? Like, and was everything like improvised on the fly, or
no?
How stretched out?
Yeah, like, well, out of the six challenges, I guess I can take you through the six challenges. The first one was basically we had 60 seconds to basically just shred for the judges. The second challenge is actually one of the guest judges on the show was actually Alex Skolnick from the band Testament.
Mm-hmm.
So Alex has been like very big influence and like one of my favorite guitar players probably since I was about 15. So definitely playing that first challenge was definitely a little nervous to, you know, play in front of one of your ears. I guess not something easy to do, right? Something you look up to so much. But so the second challenge was actually one of Alex's licks from Practice What You Preach. We basically just had to play a segment of the solo, and they were just basically increasing the metronome by 10, like every round. So we just basically had to play the lick until we couldn't play it any faster. And the third challenge was Metalize This, where we had to metalize a children's song. The fourth one was the video score, where we had to make like a guitar score for the for basically just like a video with no audio that they had given us. The fifth one was a backing track that they had provided for us. And then the sixth one was basically just a shred off to another backing track. The first challenge was I was definitely a bit nervous because you have 60 seconds to play for the judges. I didn't necessarily like write a solo that I was going to play exactly for that. So it was mostly just a bunch of ideas that I had worked out and a bunch of licks that I had played through over the 60 seconds. So I just tried to use my time as wisely as I could. That was a tough challenge because you're going up there, you know, if you're, I play in Vesperia, so it's different to go up there by myself. So it was definitely a little bit nerve wracking, but you know, once I was done, I felt a lot better. Actually, after the second challenge, the third challenge, I was feeling like a lot more comfortable going through them. I guess it was just initially at first, you know, it's 7 o'clock in the morning, we're going to film and Alex Skolnick walks in the room. It's like, holy, you know, so it was, it was crazy. So,
Mm-hmm. No doubt. That would make, I'm not even a musician, and like we've had Chuck, I've been on the phone with Chuck Billy, but for a musician to be face to face with Skolnick must be just like, oh my god.
Yeah, no, like Skolnick is he's definitely a phenomenal musician, man. He's been definitely a big influence over the years. He's an awesome, awesome musician.
Wow, for sure. With us, okay, like it's like we said, it's sort of a reality quote unquote show, shall we say. But what I really dug about it is there was none of that bullshit backstage cattiness between contestants, and there was no infighting, no. There was no bickering. It seemed like everyone was just having a good time and wanted to be there and liked
definitely,
everyone.
I could definitely agree for sure. Like I could definitely attest that, like, even pretty much from the moment that everybody walked in, everybody was really cool and everybody just seemed happy to be there. And, you know, everybody was just having fun. So it was definitely really cool. There was not really like, I wouldn't say it was much of like a competitive kind of vibe between the other players backstage. It was pretty relaxed and pretty chill. So.
Right on. And that definitely came across. Now there was no $1 million prize. There was no $1 million prize. And I don't imagine there's a record deal with this and all that, but was there some sort of prize at all?
Well, there's the title, and they give us they gave me my champion strap, and definitely I've gotten a lot of new followers all across the social media platform, so I'm definitely very thankful about that. You know, like it's hard to pick up new followers sometimes, so you know, any bit of help is fantastic. So
Right on. Yeah. Myself being a pro wrestling fan, like when they gave you the strap, it's like, oh, that's like the championship wrestling belt.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, right. I laughed out loud for that. Is there going to be like a season two where you got to come back and defend the title?
I can't give an answer about that yet. I have no idea. Yeah, that would be pretty cool, though. I would definitely be into it. So,
right on. And I do have to say, being a pro wrestling fan and all that, the end of episode 5, when they got you to do when it was just down to you and Alex Zubair as the finals, and they got you doing the fight pose.
Yeah,
I'm like, oh, God, I couldn't think of two less intimidating guys. I thought that was funny, and you guys definitely got to learn how to cut a badass wrestling promo, like, you know, I'm gonna kick your ass.
I know, it was very a lot of polite Canadian people on the show. Yeah.
That's it exactly. What?
It was pretty funny. They were trying to get us to like say bad stuff about each other the whole time. We were just like, we're all friends, man. We're having fun.
I can't do it. Yeah. Kind of for like, I'm sure a lot of musicians were no doubt watching this, and hopefully some of those same people are going to be given this a lesson. So for those gearheads, shall we say, what were you using up there?
Actually, the amps that we were using were provided. So I think I'm pretty sure every contestant was using the same amp, which was it was actually just a Marshall JCM 800, which is actually not the amp that I normally use, but it's definitely an amp that I'm happy playing through. I was using the Marshall, just the stock tone on the Marshall, and just my Jackson DK2, and For certain challenges, I had a little bit. I have an overdrive pedal. There's a Exotic Effects AC booster that I was using, as well as a MXR carbon copy analog delay unit. So it was pretty simple, man. I was just using like my guitar, the amp, and a couple pedals. So I forgot that I was using a wah on part of one of the challenges as well. So yeah, a few guitar pedals and Marshall JCM 800 and my Jackson DK2.
Cool. How many of the other contestants did you know before the first day, just from the scene? Were there any in other bands?
Yeah, there was a few. Like I've actually known Alex for many years. He's also he's also from Toronto, and I've known Alex for probably about 12 years. Actually, I've known Alex for quite a while, and we've actually never played in a band together, but we've always kind of we played you know many shows together over the years, and I also there was a couple times I had met Tim from Stryker. So Tim's from Edmonton, and we've played a couple shows with Stryker as well in Vesperia, and also I knew Rick as well. Rick plays in Astaroth Incarnate. So those were three main guys I knew. I hadn't met any of the other contestants before the show, but yeah, those were the guys that I had met beforehand.
You mentioned like yourself and Stryker is, you know, they were signed on with Napalm. You guys are professional musicians. Were they cool? They were obviously cool with that, but was that ever an issue going in? Did they ask you during the, you know, the selection process, are you a professional musician or does it matter?
No, I don't think it really mattered. I think, I don't remember them. They definitely asked us like what we had been doing, but I don't think it was, I don't think it had really mattered in their, like when they were selecting the finalists. So.
Right on. Cause yeah, I would hate to think that you would be eliminated from a competition, a fun competition like this, just because you went out and did some good stuff on your own. It's like you're being, punished for doing well. You know, and that really wouldn't be fair. But speaking of speaking of doing well, you're actually no stranger to competitions yourself. You have been on this show before in the past when Vesperia came through my neck of the woods and I interviewed you guys outside of the now defunct but will always be famous zoo here in Winnipeg.
Okay.
And that was around, we were speaking because you guys were participating in and won the Canadian leg of the Vox and Metal battle, then which you guys went on to win the whole shebang in Germany, correct?
Yeah, that's correct.
Right on. So it's kind of like, okay, you've been there, done that. You've had these amazing experiences and these competitions. Do you think that gave you an advantage in this?
It definitely didn't hurt.
Mm-hmm.
For sure, it definitely didn't hurt. But I wouldn't necessarily, it would give me like a huge advantage or anything. Like, I guess, you know, like everybody had the same amount of time to work on all the challenges and whatnot. So I guess, you know, I wouldn't say it would really give me a huge advantage, but it's definitely something that would help.
Mm-hmm. For sure. And finally, what is the one thing that you're going to take away from this as to help you advance in your career? Like what's that one thing, like, okay, this is definitely a plus for me?
Well, definitely it's definitely opened up my audience a lot. And one thing is I've actually been writing like some solo music as well. So one of my goals for the near future is to be putting together an instrumental album. So that's going to be, I'm hoping at some point during 2019 that I'll be releasing like my own solo record.
Wow. So, wow.
Yeah.
Is that going to be total DIY or do we have label interest or is this one of those, come on, I can't tell you that right now.
Yeah, well, currently no, there's no label. So far I'll intend to be doing it independently, but if somebody comes along with some interest, I guess we'll see.
Right on. I hope so. And finally, just take the time now, say hello to someone, anyone, just give someone a shout out.
Well, I guess I'll say hi to the guys in Vesperia.
So courtesy of Banger TV, yes, please, by all means, check out, you know, Frankie C's awesome victory. Although, you know what? Everyone on that show were winners, and I want to see all of those contestants, you know, do something and kick ass in the metal world and all that. And once again, congratulations to Frankie for this and for providing like quite an entertaining show. Like I sat down and I just burned through all six episodes because they all just range from 10 to 15 minutes.
Yeah, they're not long at all.
No. And it's not just the amazing musicianship if you're a guitarist and all that. But it's just the judges were fantastic. The hosts were fantastic. And you just had the feeling that, yeah, it was a competition. But, you know, unlike a lot of these quote unquote, you know, reality shows and competitions where they show all the cattiness and all the backstage fighting and all that bullshit and all that because they're catering to a mainstream audience. A show like this is just catering to musical connoisseurs. So we just want to see good musicianship with good people. And that's what we got for about an hour or so. Like that was just, you know, fantastic stuff.
And we really did, man. Like probably my favorite challenge was the soundtrack challenge where they had, you know, they had a film clip that they had to write something to. And this is where Frankie C really like, he really set himself apart, and honestly, so did Alex. Because I think Alex was the other one who kind of went a different direction. Because you know it was Shredders of Metal, so obviously everybody's playing as fast as possible. But Frankie C went a completely different direction. No distortion, very tasteful. He really thought about that challenge from the lens of a film composer and not just a shredder. And I mean, you know, just now knowing that his band won the Vakken Challenge, that explains why, because he's really showing his musicianship and his range, not just, yeah, sure, he's a technical player, he's fast, he can tear it up, but he's so much more. Mm-hmm. And that's what I really dug. And like the runner up, Alex, like in that final battle, Snowy, I don't know about you, but when, you know, Frankie C kicks it off, but then when Alex came in, I see, like, for me, I'm like, oh shit, Alex is going to win this because just with the entrance of his first solo after Frankie C, because they trade it back and forth what they call Crossroads style. If you've ever seen the movie Crossroads, yep. Not the Britney Spears one, but the Ralph Macchio one.
Right? The real one, right? The good one.
Exactly. You know, like when Ralph Macchio and Steve Vai are trading licks, like they did it like that. And it was killer. But like when Alex came in with his first entry of the solo, I'm like, oh shit. Like it had the power. It had the confidence. I'm like, oh, he's going to take it. And then like a few notes in, he flubbed, you know, but I mean, but to be fair, they both had some flubs, and that was something else I really enjoyed is that it wasn't studio perfect. Mm-hmm. Like they didn't cut out and be like, no guys, do that again. So it sounded like you got what you got. These guys are really pulling stuff off the cuff. If they screwed up, they screwed up. And, you know, this wasn't something that they had the chance to rehearse 1,000 times before they did in front of an audience. This is like, okay, I got a little bit of time to prepare and I've got to pull this off, you know, and that really showed the kind of musicians they were. Yeah. So I just, my hat's off to everybody on that show. All the guitar players were great, but I'll tell you, Frankie and Alex were really, they really stood, you know, a cut above, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And to draw back the curtain just a little bit afterwards, Mr. C had told me that he's actually known Alex for a while. He knew a couple of those musicians just here and there out and about in the scene and all that. So there wasn't much of, you know, it really wasn't a strong competition. It's like jamming with your buddies and all that. And when I hear stuff like that, like that makes me so proud, like to be, you know, not only just a member of the scene, but just a heavy music fan in general, because, you know, where I honestly believe that it's stuff like that, you know, that type of camaraderie and all that, we're one step above, you know, Joe and Jane music average listener, you know, I honestly think yep. that. And mm-hmm. you know, and it's stuff like that. So here's to hoping for a season two, a competition two, whatever you want to call it. I think maybe everyone should inundate Mr. Dunn with requests for another season and all that. And I will definitely lead the charge. Come on, Sammy, let's have it, and we'll be sure to cover it.
Dude, you know what really made that show for me? It was Blaine. Like the host, Blaine.
He was
hysterical. And what was really killing me, and Rocky, like, you gotta go back and check some of these out, is he would do different things. Like they had him in like an Alistair, I'm gonna say Alistair Cookie because I watched way too much Sesame Street as a child. But you know, like Masterpiece Theater, mm-hmm. Alistair, whatever his name was. It's not Aleister Crowley either. Like.
No. I think I know who you mean.
Thank you. Like whatever the guy's real name was, but like Aleister? But anyway, he's in the smoking jacket with a pipe, and so they put Blaine in this, and they you know, it has like the Masterpiece Theater kind of music, and it has some like whammy bar, and he's like, "What is a whammy bar?" He's like, "The whammy bar is that thing that hangs from the guitar." And that's it. Like no other explanation. Like, that's hysterical. And he's serious of a heart attack when he says it. That's the best.
Oh yeah. 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 There are many times that I laughed out loud, like literally, like you couldn't help it. I cannot recommend this enough. Check it out. It's on YouTube. Every episode is now up. And like I said, let's get another season going. Well, everyone.
Well, hang on. Before we go, I have to make one more comment.
Okay.
They call the studio where they had the competition and everything, they call it the banger hanger. No offense, Mr. Dunn, but unless you're producing adult films, Banger Hanger is a terrible name.
Well, I'm sorry, but Banger Films is a horrible name for a...
But at least Headbanger, I kind of get it.
Yeah.
It really is. It really is.
But, okay, you two have just ruined Banger TV and all that for me now, because that never crossed my mind until just now.
Thanks. Really?
That did. No, really, I'm still, sorry.
You of all people. Okay,
I never thought of that. I never thought of that. I cannot tell a lie in front of Aaron. You know me. I know.
Or banger hanger. That could be like a sling for when you're old, like a cock sling, the banger hanger. You know?
Yeah. One of those sex ones.
Exactly. Yeah. See, now we're talking. There we go.
There we go. Yeah. Now that we've totally desecrated all of Mr. Dunn's fine work.
You know what? The name doesn't matter because it does not change the fact that he's put out some of the best damn metal films. Honestly, even any film. Like, I mean, if you talk documentary style, education, like, he does fantastic work. He really does. Yeah. And this series, you know, like to your point against Snowy, it wasn't, there's no catty drama. Everybody was cool. It showcased musicianship. And I mean, those guys, every single one of them really needs to go home feeling like $1 million, because if you can make Alex Skolnick start to bob his head and nod, be like, yeah, that was killer. That was a hell of a lick. Like, fuck, man, you're doing something right. You know? Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah.
So again, sure. I salute Sam and what he did there. That was a great show. Great show.
And I could not think of a more apropos artist to go out with than Mr. Skolnick. Let's go way back to the very first record, The Legacy, one of my favorite tracks from Testament. How about Burnt Offerings? Let's go out on that. In the meantime and in between time. Oh, you know, no. See, we almost did it again because we suck at this.
Well, that's why I did it at the beginning, though. I did it at the beginning this time.
How can people get a hold of us?
Well,
you mean that way.
Well, first of all, if you happen to be in the Seminole, Florida area at college, you can just go to speech class on Friday nights and see Kareem.
Yeah, because
make sure you go to the back of the class.
Yeah, go to the back of the class. That's where she'll be.
And Kareem will sharpen your pencil.
Yes.
There we go.
That's not code for anything.
Look, don't tell them that, because they really will have me, you know, sharpen a pencil.
Hey, baby, sharpen my pencil.
Next week, there's going to be 500 nerds in Morbid Angel t-shirts all lined up outside of Seminole College now.
Is that a bad thing, though? Is that a bad thing?
No, that's a great thing. Of course, we're going to have a bunch of empty Trooper beer bottles thrown at us, courtesy of Kareen.
They can also find us at RadMetal666 on both the Instagram and the Twitter. Rock, I got to leave the Facebook to you because I have no idea where that's at.
Facebook.com/RadMetal. There you go.
It feels easy.
How the fuck do you not know that, Aaron?
Hey, you know, I mean, it's hard to be this pretty and smart, you know?
That's so. Right.
Yeah.
Who said you were either?
My
mother. Yes, a face only a mother could love.
Exactly, right?
Yeah, you got a face for radio.
And of course, silent films.
Yeah.
And there is only pretty and smart people at the ShiningWizardsNetwork.com.
Oh, God, those guys.
Check out, fuckers.
God.
Check out all of the great shows, including ourselves as a whole network of some awesome podcasts from the wonderful worlds of pro wrestling and pop culture and lifestyle and circle jerks and all sorts of cool stuff. Make sure.
Did you seriously just say circle jerk? Have you told me that you didn't understand Banger Hanger? You just made a circle jerk reference?
I am an old school punk.
You can't take credit for that because I said it subliminally. I literally said it and he fucking heard it. I take credit for that, Snowy. Oh, what, Aaron?
Nice work. Nice work, Kareen. Nice work.
So in the meantime and in between time, that's it. Thank God for another episode of Radioactive. This has been a shredding episode of Radioactive Metal. I'm Snowy White.
This is Rock.
This is Circle Jerk.
And this is still Mr. Toad's Wild Ride.
Signing off. Taking my fight fall.
Visit us at radioactivemetal.org or go to iTunes for past episodes and write a review. Listen to us live every Thursday night on purerockradio.net. You can also listen to us on Stitcher.com, TuneIn.com, Google Play, and all other podcast aggregators. You can purchase the music featured in this episode by going to radioactivemetal.org and clicking on the episode link. Leave us a voicemail. We want to hear from you. Call 321-80-HEAVY or 321-804-3289. We may even play it on the show. Email us at radmetal666@gmail.com with suggestions or for indie spotlight submissions. Follow us at facebook.com/radmetal, twitter.com/radmetal666, and instagram.com/radioactivemetal. This has been a presentation of Radioactive Metal. It's not metal unless it's radioactive metal.